Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Hey everyone, welcome to the message. I'm Monty and I'm really excited to be able to share today's word with you guys. So, we are in this new series called Winning Habits. Yeah, come on. And last week, Pastor Rod shared a great message on the Lord's Prayer. So today, we're going to build on top of that a little bit, and we're going to talk about another winning habit, which we like to call simple prayer. And so, today's message I called, How Should I Pray? Have you ever thought of that question? How should I pray? I got a random question for you. When you're talking to somebody or you meet somebody for the first time, have you ever thought about your hands? Like, have you ever thought about what your hands do when you speak to somebody? Are they just like, you know, at your sides? Are they like, you know, I don't know what you're doing. For me, sometimes I play with my rings. If I'm wearing like rings, I'll play with my rings. Or are you someone that like cracks your knuckles or do these like little finger dances? Or do you put your hands in your pockets? Because sometimes that feels like a little bit rude. So instead of putting my whole hand in my pocket, I'll put just my thumbs in my pockets and be like, yeah, I'm so courteous. Or sometimes, you know, when you're listening to someone speak and you cross your arms and you're like, But in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, wait, crossed arms is kind of rude. So then you kind of like put your hands on the outside and you still kind of cross your arms. Like, it's this weird things that sometimes we think about, but I don't know. I think about, maybe you don't. Maybe I'm the only weird one talking right now. But it occurs to me sometimes that our hands can be like a little bit odd, like a little bit awkward what we do with them. And that's why we like to hold things in our hands. That's why having coffee at church is great, because you get to hold a cup or maybe a water bottle or something, and it's somewhat calming because you don't have to worry about what your hands are doing unless you're from Italy and you don't worry about it at all, you know? You can play with your hands, you can do whatever you want, and it doesn't really matter. So, with our hands though, have you ever seen someone do this? What do you normally associate when you see someone with their hands together like this? A lot of people call it like the pray hands, and I don't know where you're watching from, but in Japan, at least, when someone does this, it actually has a few other meanings. One of them could be like, please, please, please. We say, onegai shimasu. Or the other one is when you're trying to apologize, you're like, sorry, so sorry. And you put your hands together, sorry, gomenasai. So people see these different things, they see these different gestures, and they might associate different words or different concepts with those hand gestures. So also, when you put you lace your fingers together, same thing. It could be like a please. You know, you see little kids with their mom, like, please. Or it could be another, you know, a prayer sign. And so in our history, especially in the West, throughout history, throughout culture, hands that are together like this or together like this is usually associated with the action of prayer. When people see this, they think of prayer. And so sometimes people ask the question, well, what is the right way to pray then? Is it this or is it this? Or is it something else? What is the right way to pray? Is there a right way? Or is there a wrong way to pray? How should I pray? This is what we're going to talk about today. And so last week, like we mentioned, Pastor Rod shared a great message on the Lord's Prayer. And we're lucky as believers because we have the answer to this question fairly simply laid out for us, because Jesus answers this question. You see, his disciples came to him and they were like, hey, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus is literally answering this question in Matthew 6, 9 to 13. We're just going to recap. We're not going to preach on it. We're going to recap. And this is how Jesus says you should pray. Verse 9, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is a beautiful prayer. We call this the Lord's Prayer, and it's very short. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. And you'll notice that I read that whole thing in just about under a minute, maybe 40, 45 seconds, I don't know. If you had it really fast, you could probably read it in like 15, 20 seconds. So this is not a long, complex prayer. This is the complexity or the long, that's not the model that Jesus gives us. But have you ever thought, like, why the disciples had to ask Jesus in the first place? Because they had been rocking with Jesus for a while. They had seen Jesus do some incredible things. They had seen blind men with their eyes open. They had seen lame men walking. They had seen lepers healed. They had seen all these incredible physical healings, not to mention the demons that Jesus has cast out, not to mention Jesus turning the water into wine, not to mention Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. They've seen some pretty wild, incredible things up until this point, but the thing that they didn't see was how Jesus prayed. You see, in their culture, there was a certain format, right, of prayer that they would witness from the Pharisees. Yes, these were the religious leaders. These were the guys that would go out on the streets and they would be like, ahem, ahem, ahem. And then wait for everyone to look. And then while everyone's looking, oh Lord in heaven, may your name... Are you still... Yes, and do this and do that. Yep, amen. Yeah, I see you over there. I'm joking, right? They weren't like that exactly. But they were making a big deal, making a big scene in the way that they prayed. That was what people associated prayer with. When they heard the word prayer, just like we hear the word prayer and we think of the prayer hands, when the disciples hear the word prayer or they think of the concept of prayer, what comes to mind is the image that they've seen from the Pharisees. And the thing is, Jesus was different. Jesus did not act like the Pharisees. He did not pray, or more so, perform like the Pharisees did. And so the disciples are watching, maybe waiting. Is Jesus going to do what these guys do? He's not doing it. What do? We need to ask Jesus. So Jesus, how are you praying? Because what is a prayer? Prayer is when we simply talk to God. See, that's what prayer is. It's a conversation with God. We get to speak to our Father in heaven that loves us. And the beautiful news is that you don't even have to be a Christian to pray. I know many stories of people before becoming Christian prayed to God and God answered their prayer and God did something in their life and they're like, wow, this God is real. Wow, this prayer thing actually works. So prayer, simply put, is us talking to God. And so Jesus, he didn't do what the Pharisees did or what people thought in that culture was praying to God or talking to God. He didn't do that. So when they asked Jesus, how do I pray? Jesus starts by saying, well, first of all, guys, let me tell you how you don't pray. This is not the way to pray. And so just before, literally before the Lord's Prayer, the few verses before that in Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8, this is what Jesus says. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, the religious Pharisees, who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. So Jesus is giving these guys the third degree. He's saying these guys, they're hypocrites, they're out here. All they want is not to talk to God, is they want attention from man. Don't be like them. Don't do that. Prayer is not about getting attention or recognition or applause or praise from man. And Jesus is saying that's literally their entire reward. God is not listening to that. Their entire reward is the winks they get on the street. Like, yeah, you like that one? You like that prayer? Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it? That's all they get. That's all their reward. But Jesus goes on. He says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. I love this. Jesus is saying, go and have a private conversation with God. Go in your room, shut the door, and talk to God. Because A, you're not going to be worrying about what other people are thinking. B, you're not going to be worried about getting the words right or saying the right things or having the right length, because it's just a simple talk with God. It's a simple conversation with God. Prayer is not a ritual. It's not some sort of performance. It's not a show. It's not complex. And it's not long. It's not hard to do. The Lord's Prayer, like Jesus talked about, literally after Jesus says this, he says, "This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." It's a short, simple, yet very powerful prayer that Jesus gives to us, and he models this. And whenever Jesus prayed, he would follow, you know, he would practice what he preached. In Luke 5:16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer." You see, Jesus and the gang, they're on the road. They're on this big road trip for 3 years. They're going around the different places, telling people the good news. And so Jesus doesn't necessarily have his own bedroom with his own door that he can close and be in private. No, no. He has to go out into the wilderness to find privacy. He has to find a place by himself where he can focus on God. This is why the disciples never saw Jesus pray, because when Jesus was having his main prayers, his main conversations with God, he was alone. The disciples didn't see it, but Jesus modeled this lifestyle, and he's explaining to the disciples, hey, this is the lifestyle of prayer that we need to follow. So most of the prayers that Jesus prayed in the New Testament are very short, very, very short, not that many, in fact. And one example of Jesus' prayer that I really love is the story of this man named Jairus. Now, Jairus' little daughter, 12 years old, is very, very sick and on the verge of death. So Jairus, he's a synagogue official. He's a man of high status. And I'm sure he would have tried other things, but nothing else worked. So he goes out and is like, "I've heard of this man, Jesus. I'm going to go find him and see if he can do something for my daughter, because this man is desperate for an answer." He finds Jesus. He's overjoyed. He's like, "Jesus, please, could you come and see my little daughter? She's very sick and on the verge of death." And Jesus says, "Of course." And so they go on this journey, and there's a few interruptions on the way. And as they get closer to Jairus' house, unfortunately, one of his servants come out to meet them and they say, "Jairus, don't bother the teacher. Your daughter has already passed away." And so I can just imagine Jairus in this moment of shock and what? Like, I found the answer. He's right here. And how could this happen? And Jesus turns to Jairus and looks him in the eye. And I believe he would have said with a smile, he said, "Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe." And in this moment, Jairus could have, in fact, decided, "You know what, Jesus? I don't want to bother you. What's done is done. Nothing else can be done. I'm sorry to waste your time." But no, Jairus still, regardless of the news that he hears, he still brings Jesus into his home. And back in the day when someone died, they would hire people to cry, to mourn, to wail, to make a bit of a scene when someone died. It maybe helped the catharsis or the process of the loved ones to also grieve as well. And so, Jesus arrives at his house. He arrives at the scene and he can hear this cacophony of sound and wailing in the house. And he opens the door and he's like, "What is going on? What are you people doing here? What is all this ruckus going on here?" And they're like, "Oh, she's died. And he's like, "What are you talking about? She's not dead. She's merely asleep." And everyone laughs at him. And, you know, if I was paying professional criers, I'd be pretty mad that they weren't crying and instead they were laughing. I'd be, "Why are you laughing? I paid you to cry, not to laugh." But regardless, Jesus enters the scene in Mark 5, verse 40 to 43. It said the crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was laying. Holding her hand, he said to her, now here's the important part. Here's the prayer. It's really complex. It's really long. Ready for it? He prayed, Talitha kum, which means, "Little girl, get up." It's a little bit longer in English. It's four words in English, but in the original language, it's two. Jesus prays, or he says, in fact, two words, Talitha kum. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Then Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. I love it. I love this story. I love Jesus. Because in two words, he has the power to raise the dead to life. Another great story where Jesus does this is his friend Lazarus. He loves his friend. He's a good friend of Jesus. And Lazarus dies. And Jesus goes to his tomb and he speaks three words. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And that's all it takes for Jesus to raise the dead. Just a few words. Isn't that amazing? And in so many stories, in so many encounters with Jesus, it's simple. Jesus says, "Be healed." He says, "I am willing." He says, "Your faith has healed you." That's a little bit longer. On the cross, Jesus prays a few prayers. As people are ridiculing him, shouting at him, cursing him, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them." Three words. So powerful. And on the cross, he prays another powerful prayer, a one-word prayer, which could be arguably the most powerful prayer ever prayed. He says, "Tetelestai," which means "it is finished." And with that, he took all of the world's sin, all of your sin, all of my sin upon himself, and he gave up his spirit. But 3 days later, he rose again. Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered everything when he said that one word, that one prayer, "Tetelestai," it is finished. Jesus conquered all. He is a living God. He is a resurrected Savior. And he wants a relationship with us. He wants to have a conversation with us. A relationship where we get to talk to him and he gets to talk to us. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so what we need to realize is that prayers can be simple. Prayer can be short. And prayer is powerful. No matter how short, no matter how simple, prayer is powerful. As we see Jesus's prayers, one word, two words, three words, but powerful. Amen? And one of the most powerful prayers that you could pray is the word "help." God, help. And I see non-believers, people who are not Christians, pray this prayer and God answers. Like I said, you don't have to be a believer. You don't have to be a Christian to pray to God. You can pray another powerful word, a one-word prayer. You ready for it? Jesus. I love this prayer. I've prayed this prayer many times in my life. The name of Jesus is powerful. And I remember one time in my early 20s, I was room sharing with a few guys. And one of the guys is, in fact, our Yokohama campus pastor, Masashi. So we were living in the same house in different rooms. And one night, I woke up in the middle of the night in this cold sweat and unable to breathe. And this pain in my chest, it felt like a spike like this size was like run through my chest. And I wake up and I can barely breathe. And I'm still pretty young, like 23, 24. And I'm like, is this it? Is this how I'm going to go with this? Am I having a heart attack? That's what I thought. Is this what a heart attack feels like? And I'm thinking, all these thoughts are racing through my head. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I need to get help. I need to call Masashi for help. Maybe I need to army crawl to Masashi's room to get him to call an ambulance to take me to the hospital because I'm having a heart attack. That's what I thought. And so I'm having all these thoughts. I'm like, maybe I need to get help. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. Wait a minute. I believe in Jesus. I don't need Masashi. I don't need the name of Masashi. I need the name of Jesus. And so in that moment, I cried out in my heart. It felt like I screamed. It felt like I screamed the word Jesus. But what actually came out of my mouth was this little wimpy, yes. This little bloop. But that one word, that pain was gone immediately. Boom. It was gone. And I was like, what? What is happening? And then I went back to bed and I woke up the next day feeling great. Like, yes, the power of Jesus. You see, the name of Jesus is powerful. A prayer in Jesus' name is powerful. Just saying his name is a prayer in of itself. And that alone has so much power. So if you're ever in trouble, if you believe or you don't believe, there will come a day where you will need to pray a prayer in Jesus' name, where you'll need to say the word Jesus. And every time, God is listening. And there is power when we pray in Jesus' name. So remember that. Maybe the next time you're in danger or you need some help, remember Jesus. All right? Now, as Christians, I believe as we mature, it should be our goal to not just pray one word to God every day or every once in a while. Amen? Right? Like, my goal is I want to pray more to God. I want to have more conversation with God. I want to hear more from God. Right? That should be our goal. So then another question that comes along is, so how long should I pray? Should it be a long thing? Should I set aside hours at a time or a certain time? Like, what should I do? How long should I pray? And I think the answer is simple. All the time. Pray all the time. How many times did Jesus pray in the Bible? Think about it. Was that time and this time? Maybe he prayed there. Maybe he prayed there. Trick question. All the time. I believe Jesus prayed all the time. And there was moments where we talked about where Jesus had those specific moments where he would seclude himself. He would go away in the wilderness to be alone and he would have these conversations with God. But I believe as Jesus was going through life, as he was going through ministry, he was in constant conversation with God. When he meets someone, when his heart feels for them, when his heart breaks for them, when he wants to pray for them and heal them and see them set free, I believe he's in constant conversation with God. That is the model that I want to follow. That is the lifestyle that I want to live. I don't want to be like, okay, this is just my set time with Jesus, and then the rest of the day, I'm just not going to worry about it. No, no. I want to live my life in conversation with God, in relation with God. And so when you think about something or someone, pray about it. When you're thinking about a situation, oh, what am I going to do at work? I've got to face this person. God, give me strength. Or when you think about somebody, you know, God, I know my mom is sick right now. God, I pray you heal her. Pastor Rod talks about this all the time. Turn your thoughts into prayer. You see, this has changed my mindset on what prayer is. Because what is a thought? A thought is you talking to yourself, right? In your mind, you're just talking to yourself. But a prayer is you talking to God. There's an outlet. Because there's no power when I talk to myself, but there certainly is all the power when I talk to God. When I pray to God, there's power. Things happen. And so Jesus modeled this in his lifestyle as well. That, for example, when there was a big decision coming up, what did Jesus do? He prayed. And there was this instance in Luke 6, verse 12, where Jesus was deciding the 12 disciples. Who's going to be the 12? Who's going to be the guys that's going to be with me? And we're going to ride off into the sunset together. Who are they going to be? It says, one day, soon afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. The whole night, Jesus prayed. Have you ever prayed all night long? I don't think I've prayed all night long because I'm human and I get sleepy. And so, I might pray for a bit and then fall asleep. And that's fine. You know, prayer shouldn't be about feeling guilty that you couldn't achieve or accomplish something, right? But in this instance, Jesus prayed all night long. You see, it was an important decision. It was a decision that had weight, had gravity. He was setting up the entire future. He was setting up the local church that was to come in a few years' time. He was setting these things up in this moment. It was a big decision. And Jesus prayed a lot. There's going to be seasons in our life where we're going to need to pray more than others. Amen? Sometimes there are going to be seasons that are really tough. Really tough seasons. Really hard seasons. I've been through a few myself. And in those seasons, I pray. I pour my heart out to God and I complain. I say, God, why is this happening? God, what are you doing? What is going on here? But then I also praise God and say, God, you are in control. God, you are good. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to trust in you. There's going to be seasons in life where we need to pray more. And if you're going through a difficult season now, I want to encourage you. Don't take a step away from God, away from church or community, away from journaling. No, no. Step into God. Step into his word. Step into prayer. Because God wants to comfort you. You see, one of the longest prayers that we might have on record is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this was the night before he went to the cross. You see, in just a few moments, in a few hours, the betrayer, Judas, and a whole horde of people are going to come and arrest Jesus, and he's going to go on trial, and then he's going to go and be crucified the next day. See, the night before this happened, Jesus was praying to God. This was a difficult situation. This was the toughest moment in Jesus's life. And we have Jesus recorded saying that he was so distressed that he was sweating blood. He was so distressed that he was crying out to God saying, God, if there's another way, could we see another way? We see the absolute humanness of Jesus, but we also see the divineness in his heart to say, but not my will be done, but your will be done. And God said, you know, in the Bible, it says that God sent angels to comfort him. You know, in your hard moments, that God is comforting us. God wants to be with us. He wants us to know that he is with us in the hard moments, but the moments where we feel like God is the furthest away. In fact, he's the closest to us. In those moments, we need to pray. We need to reach out to God. And like Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. And Jesus had to go to the cross. See, sometimes God's will is not as easy as our will would be sometimes, right? But God's will is always the best. Because Jesus went to the cross, we have life. See, God's will is always good. God's will is always perfect. And because of Jesus' sacrifice and crucifixion on that cross, we can have a relationship with him. We can pray with him. We can talk to him. And Jesus rose again 3 days later. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for any of you that wants to make a decision to believe in Jesus for the first time, or maybe you want to come back to God. But before that, we need to answer the question, how should I pray? And the answer is very simple. Whatever works for you. I know this whole message building up to that. Like, really? That's the answer. Yes, that's the answer. Whatever works for you. Maybe in public, you want to be mindful. Like Jesus said, don't be like the ones that try to, you know, garner attention for themselves. No. But in private, if you want to put your hands together, the prayer hands, or like this, or if you want to be on your knees, or you want to walk around with your hands up praising God, whatever works for you. That is the answer for how I should pray. God is not interested in the format. He's not interested in what it looks like. God is interested in the heart. He just wants us to talk to him. He just wants to have a conversation. He just wants to speak into our life. Whatever works for you. We call this simple prayer. We talk about this a lot at church, that this is simple prayer. And the biggest thing that I think helped me understand how to pray was turn your thoughts into prayer. I'd love to pray for you guys today. God, I thank you for all these amazing people watching this message. And God, I pray you would help us to develop a lifestyle like Jesus did, a lifestyle of us in constant communication with you. I pray that you would help us to develop new habits for us to turn our thoughts into prayer, to find triggers in our life, in our daily walk, in our daily routine, to be able to find moments where we can turn our thoughts into prayer. When we think about that person, pray. When we think about this situation, pray. When we think about you, God, pray. When we journal, pray. When we come to church, pray. God, I pray that we would be a prayerful people, that we would hear from you, that we would speak to you, and that you would work in all of our lives. Thank you, God, that we can even have the privilege to be able to have a relationship with you. And we thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, lastly, like I said, if you want to believe in Jesus for the first time, or if you want to come back to God, I'm going to pray for you today. It's very simple. You just need to know God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you, and Jesus rose again. He is alive, and he wants a relationship today. So if you want it, I'm going to count to three. Say now. You can raise your hand, or you can make a decision in your heart, whatever works. But are you ready? 3, 2, 1, now. Why don't you make that decision to believe in Jesus today? Fantastic. Can we pray together really quick? God, I thank you for these amazing people making this decision right now. I pray you come into their life. I pray that you wipe away all of their sins, all of their mistakes, and you'd fill them with your grace. You'd fill them with your love, and that they would be so excited about this relationship that they're starting with you. I pray you'd speak to them and guide them. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's message on this winning habit of simple prayer. Next week, we're going to have another great winning habit we're going to talk about. Make sure you tune in, you don't miss it, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.